All right. You guys excited? We're starting a new series, Baywatch. All right. We've been talking about this for a few weeks, so it's finally here. Now, Baywatch, if you don't know, Baywatch was actually a TV show, okay? Right. Okay. So it's kind of like a thing outside of here, but Baywatch was this TV show, and basically it revolved around the lives of these people who were like lifeguards in this bay, right? And so the lifeguards watched the bay. They were bay watchers, right? Okay. Therefore, the show is called Baywatch. And then we're talking about it in regards to who is bay, right? Now, that's you guys are all like, that's so 2014. Like, that's so old, right? Like, 2016, like, ended that, okay? Like it ended so many other things and people, which was unfortunate. Okay, so here's the thing. We're going to talk about it because relationships are important, okay? And this whole idea of bae was, you know, a word that you could use almost like babe or dear. Megan and I call each other bae sometimes just like because it's a funny thing. And so we're like, we just play into it a little bit. And but it also was like an acronym, right? Anybody know what the acronym was for? Before anyone else, right? So that was this person, before anyone else, bae, all right? And it's like, actually, before anyone else, there was God, right? Like, Jesus juked, done, okay? So, but what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about relationships, okay? Now, since you may or may not have ever seen the show Baywatch, I did want to introduce it to you a little bit with a clip. Now, here's the thing, okay? In this show, people just, like, ran around in swimsuits all the time. And so I was like, all right, well, don't want to really do that, but, okay, so, all right, we're getting a little piece of it here for you to be able to watch. Max, if you can just kind of watch the volume on the computer channel. All right, check this out.
Oh, no. How will we ever get back to Bikini Bottom now?
I can take you there.
This is David Hasselhoff. He was on Baywatch.
Who are you?
I'm David Hasselhoff.
Hooray! So where's your boat?
Boat?
Go, Hasselhoff!
All right. David Hasselhoff, I mean, he was like this amazing guy, okay, in the show, and he was famous in Germany. He was actually a singer, if you didn't know that. It was like super famous over in Germany, and so it was kind of incredible when I found that out. Another incredible fact was so many of the people who were lifeguards on this show did not actually know how to swim. Weird, right? So it's one of these things where, like, these people are pretending to be a lifeguard when they have no business being a lifeguard, right? Like, they do not have the actual skills to be able to go and be a lifeguard at a real pool or a beach or something like that. But they were pretending to be one, okay? Well, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how we can sometimes play that same part where we pretend that we are ready to be in a relationship when really we aren't, and really we need to take a real look at our life, see where we're at, evaluate that, and then work forward as to what God has called us to be and becoming that. So if you have a student guide, we're going to get started with that in just a minute. I want to pray and ask for God to be working in us tonight, revealing things in our heart, and then we'll dig into this. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to study it. And we ask that as we do that tonight, that you would reveal things that are going on in our life, that you would show us how we need to grow in you and how we can become the people that you have called us to be. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that usually doesn't get looked at unless it's Christmas time, okay? And so if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1, okay? Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 26. So a lot of times we talk about this with Christmas because it talks about baby Jesus, which is like Ricky Bobby's favorite version of Jesus, right, is the baby Jesus. And Talladega Nights, you never seen that? Like, okay, I figure everybody so close to a Darlington racetrack would know. But anyway, Ricky Bobby in that movie, he only prays to sweet baby Jesus because that's his favorite Jesus, which really points to the fact that he doesn't know who Jesus is, right? That Jesus has pre-existed for all of time, that he's always existed in the past. He always will exist in the future. He's not like a little baby anymore kind of thing. And there was a time before he was a little baby, and we pray to our risen Savior, not this tiny infant-only picture that he has in his mind. Well, we're going to be talking about the foretelling of Jesus' birth, okay? And this is a really interesting story because before this, if you can just imagine, all the Old Testament, okay, is God leading a people and saving them and reclaiming worshipers to himself. And then after he gets through the prophets, there's silence from God for like 400 years. And during this time, the people are taken off into captivity. They come back. They reestablish a temple, and they're going through the sacrificial system in worshiping God. But God has not spoken to them through a prophet in 400 years. And so we're going to pick up here, and I want you to think through that mindset that just imagine if God had not talked in 400 years through someone, and then this happens, okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to pick up. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow, okay? That's not in the Bible, the wow part, but that's got to be kind of the expression that Mary is having in this moment, where suddenly this angel, this messenger from God has appeared and is telling her, hey, you are favored before God. You have found favor in his eyes. And guess what? You're going to have a baby boy. You're going to conceive a son. And this isn't just going to be anybody. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father. And by father, he's talking about his descendant, okay, or ascendant. His ancestor, right? That's kind of where those words come together, okay? Son of the Most High God, this throne of his father David, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Mary's hearing this, and she is like, what? Okay? Mary, by all that we know, was probably a teenage girl, okay? She was not married yet. She was essentially engaged at this point, and the Jewish people had a tradition where they would have arranged marriages where the parents would say, hey, why we're going to marry this daughter to this man, and they're going to be married together, and then they can have a family together. And what would typically happen is they would make this decision between the families, and they would say, hey, you guys meet. We think that you'll agree with us, that you're a good match together. And then after a year, they would be married. Now, the thing was that if either of them was unfaithful, okay, and they went and cheated with somebody else, that they could be killed for that, okay? They would be stoned, especially the woman, okay? So if she was found to have cheated on this man that she was engaged to, he could have her stoned for that. So it was a big deal. They definitely did not do that back then because there were serious consequences. So what we see, you know, to start is that Mary had established and embraced her own identity before this had even happened. She knew who she was in God. She was favored before him. And so similarly, if you're taking the notes, before we're ready for a relationship in a dating context, which we have now, okay? We're not, most of you, I don't think, will have arranged marriages anymore, okay? That's not typical. I have actually met someone who had an arranged marriage, which was interesting, okay? So it does still happen in the world. She went for it, okay? But that's not typical. Now we have dating, right, where you get to know each other. But before we get to do that, we need to know and establish and embrace our identity and who we are, okay? You got to know who you are first. And that comes back to knowing God. It comes back to saying, okay, who is Scott Shepherd? Okay, he is a son of God because God says that he has adopted him into his family. He is valuable because Christ died on the cross for him. He is empowered through the Holy Spirit to live for God. He has a mission because God has given all believers a mission to go out into the world and to make great God's name. So there's so many of these different things to know. And then there's like little things that are more specific to me, right? Like Scott Shepherd has a favorite number. Anybody know what his favorite number is? No. It's not the long one, actually. It's my Instagram handle. That was close. Okay, 47. 47 is my favorite number, okay? If you pay attention, I guarantee you this week, if you go out and say, I'm going to look for the number 47 this week, and you get that embellished in your mind, you will see it so often. Okay, it's the world's most popular random number. And I don't know why, but that's a thing, okay? It's a thing. So it's fun. Anyway, so there are little quirky things like that. There are things like where I like to go out to eat. There are things that, you know, are very established, and I like certain sports teams, okay? I grew up in a family that really likes the Florida Gators and the Alabama Crimson Tide, all right? And some of you guys are like, oh, come on, Clemson is the best. No, all right, I disagree wholeheartedly and have statistics and things like that to prove it. But here's the thing, okay? Those things, small and large, create who my identity is, okay? And so before I need to go and be in a relationship with somebody, I really need to know a lot of who I am and have those things founded and established, okay? If I'm not really sure about who I am in God and my faith is really shaky, I'm going to take that into a relationship, right? And then this is going to not help that be strong and firm. And we're going to talk about in a few weeks the whole purpose of having a relationship, of having marriage, why you should or should not date, things like that. We're going to talk about them and how to go about dating in a way that should be helpful to you. But here's the thing. Before we should even be thinking about, okay, am I ready to date? Am I ready to go out and, you know, find this guy, find this girl that eventually I'm going to be married to? And some of you have this person in your mind already and you think you know who it is and all of this. Okay, before you get to that point, you got to look in the mirror and say, who am I? Okay, and am I at the point where I'm healthy spiritually and emotionally and ready to go into a relationship where I'm not just coming in and bringing all of my issues and hoping that this person's going to fix all of that, but rather that, hey, I'm established in the Lord. I know who my identity is in God, okay? Mary had her identity, okay? She had found it. It says that she was a virgin, okay? So she had not been with other men before. She knew that she was valuable, that her body had value, and that God says, hey, you know, things that are physically intimate are for a specific purpose and a specific time, okay? And we're going to get to talk about those kinds of things. You guys will all get your giggle boxes going and things like that, all right? But here's the thing, okay? Those things are wonderful, and God has created them and ordained them, but here's the thing. If you misuse it, then it causes issues, right? Like driving is great, right? Some of you guys are like, I already know how to drive. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just think you do. All right, yeah, go-karts are not the same. I totally thought they were the same, and let me help you out. They are not the same, all right? Yeah, you can drive, just not legally or safely necessarily. But when you drive, okay, there's things that you need to know. Because if you don't drive a certain way, guys, if you don't drive a certain way, then it's going to be dangerous to you and to others, okay? There are rules for, okay, you drive on this side of the road, and not only at this side of the road, at this speed, you stay within these lanes. If you want to go to a certain destination, you have to take certain directions to get there. You can't just take any road and expect to show up in France. Because guess what? I don't think there is a road that goes to France, okay? So if you want to go to France, you actually need to go on, like, an airplane first, okay? There's a sky road, okay? Rainbow road or something, right? Okay? So anyway, to get back, though, okay, Mary knew that her virginity was important, okay, and that God had said, you need to hold on to this, okay, until the time of marriage when it's been ordained to use, okay? Then, okay, it says she was of marrying age. So back then, their marrying age was a lot closer to how old you guys are than it is to how old I am, okay? So weird, right? Now, here is the thing. Imagine if by the time you were 5 or 6 that you had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible, okay? That's what the Jewish people did. They were very studious, okay? They didn't waste a bunch of time playing Clash of Clans like we do, or Clash Royale for those of you who are too good, all right, whatever. Or doing our makeup, or Snapchatting all day. They didn't have those things, okay? If they wanted to send a picture to someone, they had to, like, make a clay pot, draw it in the side of it, put it in a fire, and then, you know, have someone take it over. They didn't have cell phones back then, okay? Like, they didn't have those things. I'm just making up something, okay? So, listen, but she was of marrying age means that she was at a maturity level where she was ready for a relationship, okay? This was determined by people who were leaders, who had wisdom in her family. Her parents typically would be involved in this process and would know, hey, Mary is getting to that point where she is going to be ready to go into marriage, or hey, she's not ready yet, even though there's some guys that have said that they would like to, you know, they're interested in marrying her. She's really not ready yet. And so they would have that kind of input and wisdom. And it says that she was of marrying age. Okay, another thing, it says she was favored by the Lord. So she was a righteous person. She followed God's rules. She knew who God was, what he desired for her life. And then she said, I'll obey that. I'll do what God has commanded us. Now, does this mean that she was perfect?
No.
No, okay. It says that only one is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ, okay? And so even though Mary was Jesus' mother on earth, that doesn't mean, one, that she's always existed, okay? Because Jesus existed before creation. Mary is part of creation. Therefore, Jesus existed before Mary, okay? So Mary is not Mother Nature, is not Mother God. Okay, these are things that people actually believe out there, you guys, and worldviews that you may come into contact with at one point, where people think Mary is equal with God, or that Mary is greater than Jesus, okay? That is not true, okay? That's not true. But it does say that she was favored by God, okay? So she was living in a way that she was pleasing God with her actions, her attitude, her mindset, those types of things, okay? And then later on, we're going to see that she was obedient to what God declared, okay? She had this identity established. She was not you may have heard of a chameleon girlfriend before. One of these people who, if you don't know, you may know one once I describe it, or you may be one. And this goes for guys too, okay? So listen, okay, a chameleon is this little lizard or, reptile that camouflages itself to blend in with its surroundings. So a chameleon girlfriend or boyfriend is one who, whatever their love interest or significant other is into, is what they're into. So, she starts dating this emo rocker guy, and then she starts looking all emo and rocker and, pretending like she likes this stuff. And then she breaks up with him, okay, and goes out with the guy with the letter jacket that's on the football team, okay, and so they start doing that as well, and they're all into all the stuff, and they just flip-flop, okay? This person is not steady in their life, okay? Yeah, it's fake, okay? It's not stable. And so God is saying, you if you want to be like Mary and be favored by God, you need to have this identity established of who you are. You need to know. You need to know, hey, I am not into the emo rocker scene. That's not who Scott Shepherd is, okay? I am not into the letter jacket scene, okay? I'm a youth pastor. I'm past that. Like, I've grown past that. I'm not at that stage anymore. You guys would think I look really foolish if I kept, going in some of those styles that are really interesting or, something that you want to be involved in as a high schooler. But eventually, guess what? You move up. You grow into an adult, and things become important in a different priority. Yes.
You don't want to be faithful. You want to be faithful.
Yes. You don't want to be fake fool. You want to be faithful.
Well,
boom. Mic drop. Okay. Next point, okay? If you're filling out... Oop, not that way. More SpongeBob. No. Okay. All right. So her identity was established at the right time. We talked about those things right there. All right. Next up, before we're ready to be in a relationship, we must learn contentment. Now, I'm going to define this. Go back. I mean, are these even? I already talked about each of these things. All right. All right. It is important. That's why I just spent like 10 minutes talking about it. Okay. So, all right. So before we're ready to be in a relationship, we must learn contentment. Now, If you don't know what contentment means, that's okay. Okay, I'm going to talk about it in just a second. But we have four definitions to go over from last week. Who did their homework that was assigned? You did? All right. If you have the definition of humility, raise your hand. Anyone? No, this homework was due at the beginning. Okay, what about gentleness? Patience? Forbearance? It's a real shame you guys didn't do the homework this week. Really stinks. All right. Nope. All right, well, here's the thing. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. All right, so it's too late. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I will give you the opportunity to redeem yourself this week, but you must write it out in handwriting and bring it to me on Sunday night at Journey Groups. Okay? If you are the first to do that on Sunday, the first, because I only need to learn once, okay? I only need to learn it once. Then you will have your option. One per person, okay? But the first person to get the first one gets their choice out of the four. So it's a pretty good deal. Okay, so contentment. Listen. This is extremely important, okay? For like the fourth time in the last week, here are the words, okay? Humility. Not humidity. That's different. Gentleness. You didn't a minute ago. Okay. Patience. And finally, forbearance. It doesn't mean forbears. It's different. Forbearance. Okay. Now, Focus Fox, get back in. Listening Llama. Okay, all of those kinds of things. Bunny? Bunnies come home?
Yes, that's the girl's version. Bunnies come home.
Okay.
It's Listen Llama and Attention Alpaca.
Yes, okay. It's also that. Now, I need you to pay attention with whatever animal metaphor you need to use, okay? Contentment, okay? The word contentment means to be satisfied, to be fulfilled, okay? To have this sense of being good with where something is, okay? That you're not still looking for something to fulfill you or to satisfy a longing that you have, but rather you're good with where you are, okay? We're going to see here, Mary says in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel explains it to her. And then in verse 38 says, "And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." Now, if you were in Mary's position, okay, remember the unfaithfulness would be shown by a pregnancy. Okay, that was like an obvious way for someone to know if someone had been unfaithful in that engagement. Well, what happened to the unfaithful? They were stoned, okay, killed with rocks. So here's the thing. Listen, for this to come about where the angel tells her, you're going to become pregnant, okay, this could have been very serious with serious consequences, okay? I'm going to look over here at Matthew chapter 1. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, okay, or fiance, it was kind of like a difficult understanding back then. They didn't have that same word, okay? Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly, okay? So he decided, I'm not going to have her killed for this. He was a just man, okay? So Joseph also had his identity established before he was going into this relationship. And what ends up happening is that an angel appears to Joseph in a vision, and that he says, don't divorce her, take her as your wife, that this is of God. And so Joseph goes and he ends up marrying Mary, and Jesus is born. You probably heard that story with Christmas. And Joseph ends up making sure Jesus is not only not killed for being stoned, but that when Herod goes and tries to wipe out all of these children, that Jesus is protected, and he protects Mary and Jesus and takes them to Egypt. So Joseph, he had his identity established, so did Mary, and she was content with what the angel had said. What's up, Haley? So, yeah, Jesus has a half-brother, okay, because obviously the mother is the same through Mary, but then Jesus' father is not Joseph, okay, because he's conceived of the Holy Spirit. So they're not full brothers, even though they're, like, as close as possible. All right, something happened here. Okay. Here we go. So, she believed. She trusted. She said, I will obey the Lord. Even though this isn't necessarily convenient for me to get pregnant right now, right? But she went and was content with what God had said and what he said she obeyed. Now, interesting story. Her cousin or relative is Elizabeth. We're going to read about her in a minute. Elizabeth's husband was Zechariah. He was a priest. He served in the Lord's temple. And when he went in to serve, he was told that he and his wife would have a baby. Well, guess what? He didn't believe. And so guess what happened to him? He was told, you won't be able to speak until he is born. Anybody know who that baby ended up being?
John
the Baptist, that's right, okay? So they are related, which is interesting, and we're going to hear about Elizabeth in just a minute, but Mary, she does not put it off and think that this is beyond God. Rather, she believes and she trusts and she follows what God says. She's content. We need to learn to be content. What on earth? Maddie's like, dance party. All right. Playing Zelda or something. All right, whatever. So, all right. Attention, alpaca. Here we go. All right. So, wrapping up this point, okay? We need to learn to be content with who God has made us, okay? Where God has put us, and what God has given us. I saw a story this week about a pilot who is flying up in the Appalachian Mountains. He flies over this valley, and he's looking down out of the plane, and his co-pilot says, hey, what are you looking at? And he says, when I was a young boy, I used to fish in this stream that's in this valley down there, and whenever a plane would fly over, I would look up and want to be flying. And now I look down, and I want to be fishing, okay? Here's the story, is we need to learn to be content with where we are, because especially us, we're in such a privileged life, okay? The fact that everyone in here had food that was available tonight, the fact that we're living in a place where it's generally comfortable in this room, that we have clothes, things like that. We are extremely blessed in material ways, but also we are blessed to be able to hear the word of God and to be able to apply it to our lives and have the Holy Spirit working. There are people who may never hear the gospel, who may never hear how to be saved. Okay, we are blessed, and we need to not complain about, man, I don't have the newest, greatest, this or that, or I didn't make this team, I didn't get to do what I wanted, but rather we can say, hey, I can be content. And with relationships, the contentment goes to being able to just be a single person right now and live, okay, and be and discover who you are. Because a lot of people are not content, and they have to, they're always trying to go after this person, that person, and try and find someone who is going to complete them, right? The famous movie Jerry Maguire with the "You complete me," okay, with Tom Cruise. Anybody seen that? I'm sure the leaders have. Okay, no, it's not really an appropriate movie. So if you saw it, no. But that is a famous scene, okay? But he is like having this love breakdown with this girl, and he's like, "You complete me." Well, guess what? If we're looking for completion in a person, we're going to be dissatisfied, okay? We're going to end up still having a hole that something is missing in our life. Yes. Why would you ask after I just said it wasn't appropriate? Okay. Some of you can, all right? And just because, hey, here's a life point right here. Here's a life point. Just because something is rated something that you can watch it doesn't mean you should watch it.
What about Rogue One?
What about NC-17 movies? Like, terrible, X-rated. Well, I'm old enough. Does that mean I should go watch them?
No,
it doesn't, right? So just because you're old enough to be able to see something legally does not mean that you should see something, okay? My phone keeps getting kicked out for some reason, so bear with me. Maddox is killing me over there. No, he's doing a great job, I'm sure. All right, yeah, so we're going to go there. So if you're looking for a relationship to satisfy you, you'll not find fulfillment outside of God, right? Next point, here we are, okay? Before we're ready for a relationship, we must learn how to be a friend, okay? Toy Story, you got a friend in me, right? Classic, all right? Mary had a great friend whose fleece was white as snow. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Mary had a friend. Let's keep reading here. Verse 39, okay, if you've still got your Bible open, verse 39, Luke chapter 1, says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah," you guys heard that name before, right? Okay, "and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" See, Mary was in this time where things weren't certain, where she wasn't really sure. She was going through something she had never planned to have to go through at this time. And where did she go to? She went to Elizabeth's house. And she went there because it was probably a place of refuge for her. It was someone that she trusted. It was this relative, Elizabeth. and she was able to go and spend time there with her. And Elizabeth empathized with her, and Elizabeth welcomed her in and greeted her. And it says that the baby in her womb leaped for joy, that John the Baptist, as this baby inside of Elizabeth, was able to sense that, hey, the Lord is here and near. And that's just kind of an amazing thing whenever, you know, we're talking about abortion and whether a baby in the womb is a person and things like that. This is an amazing text to be able to look at and go, well, John the Baptist was able to identify God as a baby in the womb. So, pretty sure, okay? Probably a real person right there, just from this one passage. But anyway, Mary had this great friend in her relative Elizabeth. If we're going to get into a relationship, we've got to learn how to be a friend first. If you're trying to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you can't have a friend friend, there's an issue, okay? There's an issue. You got to learn how to do that first, because that relationship is never going to go past how far your friendship will, okay? If you can't, well, that's not the best way to say it. So, listen, you've got to have friendships first. You've got to be able to have a friend and be true and be a friend, right? Not just have a friend, but be someone's friend. What if we all aspired to be someone else's best friend, right? Yeah. And some of you know, well, I am so-and-so's best friend. That's great, all right? That's awesome. And I hope that each of us is. But we've got to be able to be a friend where we're there in the good times and we're there in the not good times. And we learn how to forgive somebody who's hurt us. And we learn how to be forgiven and how to work through a hard time and how to encourage someone. Because when you get into a relationship, those are skills that you need to have developed already. If you're trying to go into a dating relationship and then an engagement and planning a wedding, oh my goodness, and all the complications that come into that, and then the actual marriage and having a family and things like that, man, if you don't know how to be a friend, you're going to be in trouble. So before we're able to go and be looking for who are we going to date, who are we going to marry one day, all of those grand things, that's great, but we've got to learn how to be a friend first, okay? And Mary had this friend, and she had established it, and it was worth going over a long distance to get there and climbing up into this hill country. They didn't just have cars to take them there. She actually had to walk there, and she was pregnant while she was doing this. So Elizabeth was a friend that was worth the journey and worth going to, and Mary had established this ahead of time. So it makes us ask, you know, what kind of friend are you? What does it look like, your friendships? Because friends are selfless and loyal, caring and honest, okay, considerate. Are these traits that we're exhibiting in our friendships with others? I hope so. I hope you can say that you are, right? Final one is, before we're ready for a relationship, we must, oh, I don't know why that, there we go. We must learn how to communicate effectively, okay? I want to see, this is a fun activity, all right? And you're going to have to get creative here because some of the things are going to get taken up really quickly. We're going to go through and see how many different methods of communication can you come up with, okay? Each person is going to say one method, okay? So, get ready. Nope, we're going to go around the room, okay? We're going to start. Connor, what is a method of communication?
Morse code.
Morse code.
Phone.
Talking. Sign language. Telepathy. That's a, okay. You got to teach me that one sometime. Anything else?
Oh, I got one. I know one.
Hold on. That's what Mr. Allen said. Oh, walkie-talkie? Okay, that'll work. Nope.
Clicks and whistles like dolphins.
Okay, clicks.
Well, you can make up your own. You can text.
Yeah, okay, you make up your own. Okay.
Body language.
Body language.
Chinese.
That's talking.
Qingzhou.
That's talking. Texting. Bat signal. What? Pictures. Sending pictures. Okay. Hold on. Ian. Oh, sorry. All right. Miss Aileen. Writing. The ancient art of writing.
No, papyrus.
What? Facial expressions. Okay.
English.
That's a language. What's a mode of communication?
Email.
Emojis. What? That's a language.
No, that's a writer.
Oh, I thought you didn't say Arabic?
Yeah, wait, what's it called?
Arabic.
That's a language.
That's a writer, right?
Writing was also said by Miss Aileen, so.
Okay, you know what? I got this.
I was already said. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Braille. Okay, nice. What's another one? Oh, supposed to come down this way? Okay.
Would spelling in the air be different than writing?
Imagine.
Like doing this? Is that what you're saying? I guess so. Okay.
Poetry.
Okay. What?
Lip reading.
Dang it, I was gonna say that.
Singing.
What?
No.
Singing?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Mine is smoke signals. Okay, so there we go. All right, so, all right. That was fun. Focus back up, and we're going to close in just a minute. Communication is key. You guys are some of the most connected, disconnected people in the world.
That's so true.
Okay? I get to read about this like every week. Listen, all right? I get to go out and read about what's going on with teenagers and trends and all kinds of studies that people do on people your age, okay? One of the biggest things that people are talking about is that you guys are constantly in communication with each other. But at the same time, you struggle often with face-to-face interactions, with actually being in person and not being on your phone, okay? That you'll have a partial conversation with someone, but you'll also be on your phone. And I go, man, I struggle with that too, right? Like, cell phones are just so part of who you are that it's like, oh, I thought I felt it vibrate, but I didn't. So you put it away, and then you pull it back out like 30 seconds later because you forgot what time it is, and then you put it away, and then like a minute later you pull it. See, there's something about just being able to communicate and to connect with someone in person. And here's the thing, if you're going to be married to someone, you're probably going to spend a lot of time being around that person, all right? Not just like texting and not just Snapchatting or Skyping or something like that, but and definitely not smoke signaling. I bet none of you will be smoke signaling with your spouse. It is lit. That was a good one. I like it. Okay, that was sweet. Now, but you've got to learn the ancient art of just talking and communicating. Like somebody said, hey, focus, guys. All right. Like we said, there's many different ways that we communicate, okay, through our words, through what we write, through the things that we post, the pictures that we take, the body language we use. Well, another thing is tone of voice, right? Nobody said tone of voice, okay? And that says a lot because, see, when we text something, we can send it in, but it can come across as sarcastic or mean or things like that. Emojis help with that, right? And so does LOL, because it helps someone to realize, like, I'm not being mean to you. I'm just kind of, like, being funny right now. But here's the thing. If we can't just actually have conversations and talk and connect with that person face-to-face, we're going to struggle in the long run. So before we're trying to get into any kind of a relationship that is long-term, going forward, we need to be able to have this skill. We've got to know how to communicate. And we need to know how to communicate with the Lord, right? We need to be able to know that God has given us his word. He's put the Holy Spirit within us as believers, and he guides us and directs us and shows us this is true, this is good, this is pleasing to God, this is not, and can show us how to go through life. Because if we want to know the Lord, but we don't communicate, we don't express what's going on in our life through prayer, if we're not seeking him out, well, there's no relationship that's going to grow there. And the same is true with people, that if we don't communicate, that relationship's not going to grow. It's not going to have anything to feed off of. Mary did this, you know, when she finds this out, she goes and she's with Elizabeth, and Matthew said that it was found that she was with child, and Joseph had known this, and so she was able to communicate. She was able to just share these things and go to people, and even if something was, to find out that you're pregnant when you're not married, it's a big deal, okay? Especially back then, it was a very scary thing. And so sometimes communicating, even in a hard thing, is important. And being able to go to someone and say, here's the truth. Or let me be honest with you, not just, you know, here's my honest opinion or something like that, but this is truth. This is what's going on in my life. I'm going to share this. When we do that, we learn how to actually be, crazy word right here, right? Intimate, okay? See, to have an intimate relationship of something is to be very close with something, and to have a connection with something where you really understand it and are almost able to, like, anticipate something. Husbands and wives often are able to understand what the other person's going to say or how they're going to react before they even get there, before they're even, you know, if I go and somebody says, well, I wonder, we should ask Megan about that. I'm like, I can already tell you what Megan's going to say about that because I know, okay? I intimately know her. Okay, it's not just a physical thing, and that's what so often it's taken down to just physical intimacy. But there's so much more there, and all of that comes through communication. You don't get to know how someone thinks and what they care about just by being around them or just by osmosis, right? You guys learn osmosis, where water goes through a semi-permeable membrane or whatever, right? I just pulled that back out of, like, ninth grade biology out of nowhere. So good. I know. It's what? You learned seventh? Okay, seventh grade. You guys are like 2 years ahead of where I was in school. I was homeschooled, all right? Chill. It's okay, all right? So here's the thing to wrap up, all right? She was able to communicate even when it was difficult, okay? She listened, and those things come into relationships and are important. If we want to be able to grow, to be able to connect with someone, all of these things that we say are important in a relationship, that we want to have someone who's our best friend, to have someone who is, you know, able to just hear us when we're going through something, we've got to be able to communicate. We got to be able to be a friend. We've got to know who we are as a person in Christ. And we've got to have that identity already established before we're going into this. And so maybe you're hearing these things and you're like, I'm doing pretty good on this one or that one, but I need some, you know, work. There's still more to be done. If you can understand that, great. If you don't understand that, one of those things you're probably lacking in, okay? And you need to be able to look at yourself and identify, what do I need to grow in before I'm going to be at that stage? Because honestly, this is not a mean thing. Don't take this as a mean thing. You're not ready to be married, okay?
Oh my God, you read my mind.
Let me help you out, okay? You're not ready to be married, okay? And here's another thing. You probably won't be in the next year or two, all right?
Oh, my gosh. That's so
true. Probably not. So here's what I want you to do. Listen, so since you've got some time, okay, don't be so worried about relationships and who you can date and who you can go out there after. Learn you don't need to date God, okay? That's not how that works, all right? All right. But learn these things. If you can learn these four things, you're going to be established. And next week we're going to talk about the other person and what kind of person you need to be looking for. Guys, what kind of girl do you need to be looking for? Girls, what kind of guy do you need to be looking for? Not right now, but in the future, okay? Because as we determined, you're not ready to get married, right? All right? Because some of y'all are like, they're super intimidating, and those people are fools, okay? And it probably goes the opposite way of how you think, so just chill. But, you know, work on these things. If you take the next 2 years, listen, and you work on these things, you'll probably come to the same conclusion that you have right now, that you're not quite there yet, and you won't be for at least a year or two. And you know what? It'll give you some time. But at some point in the future, you'll realize, hey, I'm actually pretty established. I'm actually pretty good at communicating. I have some good friendships, and I'm able to go and be open with these people. I have contentment in who I am, and I'm not seeking this person that I think is out there and is going to complete me. And once you've kind of got to that point, the Lord's going to be able to lead you in that, okay? He's going to lead you in that process and move you forward. So hopefully that takes a big load off of your shoulders of, I don't have to be so worried about this right now, okay? What? All right. Well, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to pray. We're going to close up. I think we'll play a game back here. All right. Not splatter ball, okay? Please don't turn the game into splatter ball. That would be gross. Maybe we'll do that this summer out in the field or something. That would be fun. Splatter ball. Log that away, you guys. Log that away as game to create with baby food or something. I don't know. Splatter ball. Baby diapers from Pastor Izzy. Splatter ball. Yes. Or is it? All right. All right, hey, we're going to pray, and then we can talk. All right, parents will be arriving within about 10 minutes or so. So be keeping an eye on that. All right, let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. God, as we look at your word, we see the example of Mary and Joseph and how they had lived their life up to this point. We don't know all the details, God, but we do know that they were seeking after you and that they were established as people, that they had grown up and matured. And so, God, help us to do that as well, that we would take these years of life and that we would put our energy in the right places, God, as these students are going through middle school right now. Help them to remember I'm not in the place where I need to be looking at getting married right now, but I can be working on becoming all that God has created me to be. And so help us to do that through learning to be content, learning to be a friend, learning to communicate, and learning who our identity is in you, God, and being established in that. Lord, we ask that as we go out this week, we would be reminded of the opportunities we have to grow in each of these areas, and that we would come back next week ready to learn more and ready to find out about who future relationships we should be looking for to enter into those relationships with God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.